You'll find on page 613 of the Pew Bible, if you're following in that version. Let us ask for God's blessing as we come to His Word. O Lord our God, we do rejoice that You have given us Your Holy Word, that You teach us from it, that You build us up in our faith and in our understanding of You. And we pray for that this morning, that You would open Your Word to us and help us to rejoice in Your goodness and mercy that You have granted to us through Christ our Lord. Bless us now, we pray in His holy name. Amen. Isaiah 53. Who has believed what they heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He has no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. And then turning over to Luke chapter 24. You'll find that on page 884 of the Pew Bible. And we read here, and I'll read the end of verse of chapter 23. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise?" And they remembered his words, And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Well, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Excuse me. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Excuse me, my allergies are kicking in here. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" Excuse me. Sorry about that. And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Excuse me. Apologize for that. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself? Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still, disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. And may God bless his holy word to our understanding this morning. Each year around this time, the church celebrates Easter. It's a time of rejoicing. It's a time when we turn our thoughts, hopefully, toward Christ and what he has accomplished. In our own society, much of what we turn our thoughts to has nothing to do with Christ. But today we will focus our thoughts on him. Today we rejoice in the fact that Christ has won the victory over sin and death. And he has won it for you and I as we trust in him. He is God the Son who came to earth that we might be delivered. And he has done that. And so we do rejoice. We do this every week, however. We don't just do it once a year. And we need to understand that every week is really an Easter week for us if we're trusting in Christ. Now, as we look at the events that occurred around the death and resurrection of Christ, we want to put everything into perspective, and we need to recognize that each step in the life and ministry of Christ is crucial to our salvation. And so, as we look at the life of Christ, we don't just focus on the events that we're celebrating today, but we need to look back. And we need to remember that Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. And by being born of the Virgin Mary, as the Holy Spirit empowered her and brought that to pass, he did not inherit Adam's sinful nature. And that's important for you and I to remember, because every one of us has come into this world inheriting that sinful nature passed on from Adam through each and every generation. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. Jesus did not. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. And that virgin birth is crucial to our salvation. Jesus, as he began his ministry, was tempted by Satan. And just as Adam was tempted in the Garden of Eden by Satan, so Jesus was taken into the wilderness and tempted by Satan. But where Adam gave in to the temptation and sinned against God, Jesus, faced with much greater temptation, resisted perfectly that temptation and was faithful unto God. He did that for you and I. His faithfulness is the faithfulness that we count upon, because that made him able to come into the presence of his Father. Something you and I cannot do, because the sin that is within us makes us less than perfect, and God cannot look upon anything that is less than perfect. And so Jesus, resisting that temptation and being faithful throughout his life, never sinning, made him able to make that perfect sacrifice required by God for the deliverance of his people. That's crucial to yours and my salvation. If he had not been perfect, he could not have made that sacrifice. He would have just been another criminal being put to death on the cross for sin. And he would have been guilty and in the sight of God worthy of death, just as you and I, because of the sinful nature within us and the sin that comes from that, are worthy in the sight of God of death. But he was faithful, and we need to remember that. And then he willingly went to the cross. We look back just a little bit, of course, we see the crucifixion on that Friday morning. He went willingly, and he endured that suffering. And he laid down his life on that cross, taking upon himself the wrath of God for all who truly trust in him. And so God's wrath against your sin and mine has been brought to bear on Christ instead of you and I. It's because he took our penalty. He was the substitute for us, that we, as we trust in Christ, can go into his presence. And we can go with joy in our hearts because he was willing to take our place and take the punishment for our sin upon himself. The punishment that we deserve for our sin, he took upon himself. And he did that willingly out of love for us. And that's crucial to our salvation. Because the penalty for our sin must be paid. It must be paid. There is no middle ground. There is no option. And we either pay it by going to spend eternity in hell, or Christ, as our substitute, paid it for us. And so as we read that Apostles' Creed, we say he descended into hell. He did that for us. And he rose again. And that's what we celebrate today. And we're going to look more deeply into that, the resurrection today, and his ascension to be with his Father, seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, making intercession for us as our mediator, so that God sees his perfection instead of our imperfection, and we can come into the presence of God. That's crucial to our salvation. And then one day he will come again. He will come again to judge, to perfectly judge each and every one. And at that point, the eternal state will begin, and we will be forever with him, where there will be no sin, no pain, no suffering, but simply joy for all who trust in Christ. And we can rejoice as we look forward to that. And so today we want to look a little bit at Christ's resurrection and what he has accomplished through that. And as we start, I want to look a little bit, we want to look at the details, the facts of what happened on that third day. And of course, the scriptures spoke of the fact that he would be 3 days. And we think of the example given of Jonah, 3 days. We think of other examples throughout the scripture where the prophets pointed toward the fact that there would be 3 days. And so, the third day has come. It's that Sunday morning. Jesus was crucified Friday. Saturday, he was in that grave. Sunday morning, as the day dawned, there was an earthquake. The angel of the Lord came down from heaven, we see in Matthew 28:2, and he rolled away the stone that was covering the front of the tomb where Jesus had been laid. And Jesus came back to life. And we need to understand, he had truly died on Friday. He had been taken down from the cross by Joseph of Arimathea. He had been wrapped in burial cloths. He had been laid in the tomb, and the stone had been rolled over the entrance to the tomb. He hadn't just been unconscious or in a coma or anything like that. He was truly dead. And he remained dead until that Sunday morning. But now he had been victorious over death itself. And he got up and he removed those burial cloths and left them in the tomb and departed from it. Now, Jesus' followers, we have to note here, didn't really understand what was going on. For them, a very traumatic time in their lives and in their ministry had just happened. They didn't expect him to rise from the dead. And it's important to understand that they didn't expect him to rise from the dead. Later on, they'd understand all the details and how it all fit together, just as we can as we study the scripture. But when that day dawned, those women weren't going to the tomb to greet the risen Savior. It's important to understand that. They went to anoint his dead body. And they must have been sad and depressed. And you can just imagine how they felt after all that they had seen. Their leader had been betrayed, had been tried, had been crucified, had been buried. Their hopes and dreams of being delivered by him were destroyed. The one they placed their hope in was dead. And of course, remember, they're looking from a human perspective. And their leader is dead and buried. They didn't understand what Jesus had been teaching about his death and resurrection. And so they were looking from a human standpoint. And resurrection isn't something that we are accustomed to seeing. It's not something that we would expect. They expected to find Jesus' dead body in that tomb. And their main concern as they approached the tomb was how they would get the stone rolled away from the entrance. It wasn't how they would greet the risen Savior. And you look at Mark 16, verse 3, you see their concern expressed there. And they weren't sure how they were going to be able to get in to anoint Jesus' body. That was their concern. And with this in mind, we can understand why the women were shocked and frightened and distressed when they found the tomb empty. Instead of Jesus' dead body in the tomb, they found angels who explained to them what happened. But they still didn't understand that Jesus had really risen from the dead. It didn't really sink in for a little while. Until they actually saw him. And the disciples didn't understand either. Peter ran with John to the tomb when they heard the report from the women that the tomb was empty. And they saw that empty tomb with a burial cloth inside, but no sign of Jesus. And the scripture says Peter went home wondering what had really happened. And so it's important to understand from that perspective. This was quite amazing, quite different from what they were expecting. Later on that road to Emmaus, the disciples there didn't understand or recognize Jesus until their eyes were opened. Thomas wouldn't believe Jesus had risen until he saw the wounds in Jesus' hands and side and put his finger into them. He had to actually touch them before he was ready to believe. They were still looking from that human standpoint. They were looking for a Messiah who would deliver them from Roman domination. And the man they thought they were that was going to do that was now dead. Even though they had been spending 3 years with Jesus, being taught by him of God's plan of salvation for his people, they hadn't really understood what Jesus was teaching. It's kind of amazing to think of that. You know, you can just imagine being with Jesus for 3 years and listening to all of this, and they still didn't understand. But soon they would. And gradually the truth became clear. The words spoken by the angels made it clear that Jesus had risen. And when the women heard, you'll notice in Luke here, it says in verse 8, they remembered his words. The angel said, he's not here, he's risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And it's starting to dawn on them, it's the third day, he's not in the tomb. Maybe this was really happening, as he said. And these things started to come together. When some of the disciples went to the tomb and saw it empty, they too started to understand. The fact that the burial cloths were left in the tomb was an indication that Jesus had risen. And you can imagine, if somebody had come and just come to move the body somewhere, which was what the common folks would have thought, they would have kept the burial cloths on the body. They certainly wouldn't have unwrapped him. But those cloths were sitting right there in the tomb. And Jesus was gone. As Jesus appeared to the people, they began to realize how the scripture had pointed to Jesus as the Messiah promised by God long ago. And we go back all the way to the Garden of Eden as Adam was being cast out and God made that promise that ultimately there would be deliverance. It's now been fulfilled. As he spoke to the patriarchs of Israel, as he made his covenants with them, as he spoke through the prophets, we see the truth of Jesus being proclaimed. And it's important that we understand and we look through and read through and meditate on what's in the Old Testament if we want to really understand what Jesus was coming to do. The fact that Jesus appeared to many different people, he ate with them, he let Thomas touch his wounds, he ascended into heaven with them watching. It leaves no doubt as to the reality of the events that the scriptures present to us. There was nothing secret about Jesus rising from the dead. And we need to remember that. Sometimes these things, they can seem so outrageous. We don't, from our own human perspective, it's hard to imagine these things happening. But there were many, many, many eyewitnesses to all of this. And we need to remember that. And so we look here and we rejoice. And we rejoice each and every week because Christ really did rise from the dead. His resurrection on that glorious third day proved his sovereignty even over death. And so as you and I trust in him, we are numbered among his brethren, his sisters, the body of Christ. And the blessed hope of this resurrection that Christ delivered us, that's ours. As we trust in him. And I trust that you are trusting in him. The call upon you and I is to acknowledge the truth of the Word of God. That when God promised that deliverer and He sent Jesus into the world, that Jesus did exactly what God had promised. And as we trust in Him, those promises are ours. And we are delivered. Do you trust in Him? My prayer is that you do. And that we together will rejoice for eternity as we remember His goodness and His mercy. And so we celebrate this day. Let us celebrate throughout our lives as well. And let us praise His great and glorious name for what He has accomplished for you and I. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that on that third day Jesus really did rise from the dead. And we thank You for the evidence in front of so many witnesses of His resurrection and later His ascension into heaven. We thank You that this wasn't just something that happened secretly and He was suddenly gone. And we thank You that when they went to that tomb, there was no body there, only the cloths that had been wrapped around Him. We rejoice in Your mercy and Your grace. We confess that we don't deserve that mercy and grace because of our sin, but that You have taken our place, Lord Jesus, and You have won the victory over sin and death for us. Help us to understand these things, O Lord, and help us to be strong in our faith and in our commitment to You. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.